Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
Who, and I am managing to still stay positive, Chuck Locklear.
And we're a couple of best friends and credentialed Clipper media people who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
And today's episode is actually brought to you by Built Bar. Make sure to go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On to get 20% off your next order.
Hell yeah.
Basically, if you were unaware, this weekend in Clippers basketball was similar to a tale of two cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Quite literally. So, yeah.
So we're going to talk about the very encouraging win on Christmas Day versus the Nuggets, as well as the very discouraging 51-point blowout against the Mavericks. We're talking about what we should be taking away from these two games. And then today it is Monday, so we have the freshies for you. Today we're kind of focused on Nikola Batum, talking about the Batum Battalion. He played really great in that Christmas Day victory. It was a crucial part. So we're going to talk a little bit more about his fit. And then in shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up all the loose ends, we're going to talk a little bit more about kind of the cold start and how things are looking thus far through three games. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast.
Yes. So this is the weekend Clippers recap. We're going to start with the good stuff first. In case you missed it, Clippers beat the Nuggets 121-108 on Christmas Day. The complete opposite of what happened on Sunday. This, like, everything was great. We shot 55% overall, 50% from three. We had 32 assists on 41 made shots. Like, Clippers fans were pretty psyched after this game, and rightfully so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, everything went really well. We saw, you know, Paul George's passing kind of unleashed. I had some issue with the turnovers, but nine assists was great. You know, overall things were just really clicking. The ball movement overall was incredible. We had 32 assists on 41 field goals. Like, yeah. I mean, really, really solid. And this was another like wire to wire victory for the Clippers, and it just looked good.
It was a little overshadowed by the brutal elbow that Kawhi accidentally took from Serge. Kawhi ended with 21 points. Man, that was scary when that happened. Luckily, he only had to get stitches. Could have been a concussion. Could have been something crazy. But they showed one slow motion replay of the elbow they didn't show again, I think, because it was just super. It was brutal. Zoo had 12 points.
It did not overshadow the victory. That's absurd.
I mean, it was a pretty rough thing. That sucked.
It was super rough, and it did highlight sort of like, when things are going so well, just the fragility sort of that everything rests on.
Yeah.
But if that's your biggest takeaway from that game, buddy, you got to be more positive than that, pal.
Well, I'm not saying it's the biggest takeaway, but it was pretty brutal. He missed the next game. Zoo had 12 points, no boards, which I don't know if that should be concerning.
It is a little baffling for sure.
It's kind of crazy. He hasn't been super elite on the board yet. Batum, I mean, 13-10. The Batum looks obviously every much worth the vet minimum, but this was peak Batum.
Yeah, absolutely. He added in four assists. He added in a block and a steal. I mean, you know, the guy just knows how to be in the right spots. And mm-hmm. I am inclined to believe that this sort of performance is not a flash in the pan. I mean, with regular minutes, you know, I think that he could consistently be in double-digit scoring and, you know, close to that, high sevens boards-wise. I don't know if he'll average a double-double, but, I mean, the upside is there. The possibility is certainly there. The eye for the game is there. I think what I was most impressed by, honestly, was just sort of what he had to say in the post-game interview where, basically, he talked about how, you know, this team is super willing to grow and everybody is constantly calling each other out on things that aren't working. And he, as a vet, you know, respects that sort of challenge. And he knows that that's what it takes to get them to the next level. And then on top of that, he just talked a little bit about his role. And in his eyes, you know, like his role is to make whatever he has to do to make those people around him better, which is all you want to hear from a vet that you bring in.
And he who's just having to start.
Yeah. And he just added how easy it is for him to do his job when he's surrounded by, you know, this type of talent that he is currently surrounded by. So for me, he's hitting all the right points. He's saying all the right things. He's backing it up on the court. I think is just a sign of good things to come from Batum moving forward.
Yeah, it's the Batum Battalion is very much in full effect. Membership is growing, which is nice. We mentioned in the pregame for this, it would have been a victory to hold Nikola Jokic to just a 20-point triple-double. He had 24, 9, and 10. So we did, and we got the win, which felt good. But there were some things that were a little rough in this game. The turnovers, like we said, some rough fouls from Patrick Beverley, as kind of per usual now. He had 5 fouls in this one. Kennard, I believe, fouled another three-point shooter at one point. But, you know, overall, people were riding high on Christmas Day, and we rode on those highs from Christmas Day into the worst loss in Clippers franchise history on Sunday against the Mavs. There was no Kawhi Leonard. There was no Marcus Morris. Started Luke Kennard in this one, which, you know, good for Luke, trying to get him those shots up. But, man, this one, I mean, the Clippers were down 50 at half. Like, this one was just – this one was a goddamn nightmare. Like, everything that could not have gone wrong or that went wrong could have. And then the Mavs, you know, they needed their first victory. They were playing really good. Like, we weren't hitting shots early. There was no paint defense. I don't really know what to say about this game.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's some things that would normally sort of trouble me. Most notably, just kind of the way how flat they looked coming out. Everybody looked a little bit lost. There was a troubling display of effort on the defensive end.
For sure.
And, a lot of turnovers, which once again, the Mavs really did push the pace in transition, which is one of those things that's going to continue to punish us as long as those are high. And then it kind of, the ball movement went away, which naturally, you know, you do have Kennard in the starting lineup, so that's going to shake things up. But I felt like PG was kind of forcing some shots. Overall, the ball movement wasn't great. I want to segue one second away though from the starters and regular rotation minutes to kind of say that, like, I'm a little bit disappointed in some of the younger dudes who like didn't take this opportunity to play big minutes and like kind of show up. For me, what's a more troubling takeaway from this game is like the performances of Terrence Mann and Amir Coffee, the performance of Fee, like, and once again, like, there were moments where the Mavs did have, you know, some of their better players in against.
Dude, they played the starters. Not making so long. It was so crazy.
Not making any excuses. Not making any excuses. All credit to the Mavs.
But a 40-point lead, they're still playing Luka. You're like, what are we doing here?
Totally. But I mean, you know, they deserve the victory. They deserved.
Oh yeah, they beat our ass.
They came out ready to play. They came out with the most energy. You know, they consistently cut through any semblance of defense the Clippers had, got whatever they wanted around the rim. But yeah, I guess my biggest cause of like disappointment that's actually like a long-term takeaway, I just wanted some of these guys to step up. And I know that I said I wasn't going to harp on the starters too much, but dude, Luke Kennard, man, this was your chance to kind of show out in a way that like... And it's not the end, obviously. You know, it is still just one game. This is still only his third game back after 18 months of not playing basketball. But, man, you're asked to play 30 minutes, and, you know, you deliver 3 of 11 from the floor, 1 of 6 from 3.
And they gave him run, too. Like, that's the thing. Like, they left Kennard out there, and you're like, yeah, we hope we can get this going. But, and he was also fouling, which we'll talk about in the next segment.
Yeah, more turnovers than assists. I mean, like... These are the things that are a little bit more hard for me to swallow or a little bit more troubling. I did like overall that Paul George, you know, step up and kind of like took ownership and responsibility for this loss. It's not solely on him, but I mean, it wasn't great. Do you have anything else you want to dump on this before? I think we can make a couple positives from it.
I mean, Serge looked psyched up once we went down 50. He won the Clippers Broadcast Player of the Game, which is maybe the most useless award, maybe even more useless than those Agua Caliente ones. I mean, it was the weird thing to me is like the Mavs didn't even shoot crazy percentages because it was so out of hand early. They shot 49% from the floor, which is very good. They shot 34% from three, which is average. Went to the line 27 times. I don't know, man. I guess the positives are, I don't know. We don't have to ever see this situation again. Like, I can't imagine this team's ever going to lose by 51 again. I never thought it would happen this season, though. I don't know. What positives do you got?
I thought Serge Ibaka was absolutely great. While I did dump on the young guys, shout out Oturu for getting his first NBA bucket.
Yep.
That's one of those things. I wish it was a better game because it's one of those games. It's one of those things you're going to remember for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
still, Pat Bev, would have liked to see a better game from him overall. The fouling. Four once fouls. Again,
yeah, goddamn.
Wasn't great, but he did have a contest on Maxi Kleba at one point that was just like, this is why I love Patrick Beverly. And it did end up being a foul, but the way he was willing to challenge him at the rim, I was like, this is what you love about Patrick Beverly. And there were also, like, despite the turnovers, Paul George was 1-1 in assist to turnovers. I thought there were really a couple of nice finds, to be perfectly honest. And I think that we have seen his passing game look much more soundly overall than it did last year. And certainly it has exceeded my expectations of where his passing game would be at this early in the season.
In terms of how we're feeling, we're going to talk more about PG's passing in the next segment. In terms of how we feeling after this weekend, I mean, I don't know. We had like truly the highest of highs on Friday and then just the lowest of lows. So it's only one game. Just batten down the hatches. We're going to get made fun of a lot for this because if it's not one thing, it's always the other with the Clippers, right? But hey, we're 2-1. Let's just keep telling ourselves that. We play Timberwolves on Tuesday, who will be without Karl-Anthony Towns. So we probably won't get beat by 51 in that game. But yeah, I don't know. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling a little relieved, once again, that the Clippers managed to pack an 0-3 start into one single game.
Yeah, 100%.
We're still 2-1. Outside of today, which, once again, it's one of those games that is so bad, it's hard to take a lot of like finite things away from. I'm overall still feeling pretty good about where we're at. We're a little bit further ahead of where I thought we'd be this far into the season.
Yeah. Remember to contextualize the blowout. It's going to be okay. Coming up, we're going to be talking the Freshies, our Monday segment where we talk all the new guys, giving a shout to the Batum Battalion, as well as Luke Kennard's possibly troubling play. But first, we got to get a shout out to betonline.ag. College football is heading into the bowl season. There's some big matchups this upcoming weekend. Got Dolphins, Bills too for the NFL guys out there. NFL regular season's finishing up. Playoff picture still a little murky for a lot of teams. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust to bet, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Look out for the Clippers to be undervalued in noon games, or excuse me, overvalued from this point on. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbooks expert.
Okay, so we're back with segment two, and we do the Freshies every single Monday. It's where we kind of talk about who and what is fresh. This one is going to be centered around the Batum Battalion.
Oh, man.
Obviously, Nick Batum coming through as a new guy early, and we're also going to talk about Luke Kennard.
Yeah, let's talk about the good stuff first. We do got to give a shout out. Check out Lockdown Bets. We were just talking some betonline.ag stuff. Lockdown Bets has you covered with their lock of the week, of course, and some fantastic.
Only locks over there at Lockdown Bets.
Only locks. So, Will, as the founding, you were the earliest member of the Batum Battalion. Little difficult, can't take too much stock into what happened against the Mavs, of course, but did you think he'd be this effective so far? Like looking at that game against Denver and stuff like that, like this has to have even exceeded your expectations.
Oh yeah. I mean, it exceeded my expectations. I mean, I didn't think that he'd be starting. So most everything is exceeding my expectations, but I touched on it a little bit in the last segment. I mean, this is a guy who's a consummate vet, who understands what his role is, and if he doesn't, is willing to find out from his teammates. This is a guy who is going to continue to find himself in great positions for snagging rebounds, great positions to contest shots. Who would have thought that a guy, Nick Batum, that a lot of people when we signed him said was washed, would be speeding up this team in transition. I mean,
I don't know if that's a good thing for Nick Batum or an indictment on the Clippers, but I think it might be a little bit of both.
I think it's a good thing for Nick Batum. Yeah. What are you talking about?
No, it's been great. Like, just the knowledge of the game is fantastic. And it's like, it's because he's so fundamentally sound that it helps so much with Morris being out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, he is a great teammate. And I think that I'm curious to see what the fit looks like once he goes back to the bench, but it makes that bench just so much deeper. And I already feel a lot less worried about the rotation at our forward depth or lack thereof once we go back to things. Once Morris is back, we're not going to be seeing lineups that involve Kennard, Reggie, and Coffee. which is a little bit difficult to stomach. And then you throw Pat out there. And I mean, you know, Zoo can only do so much.
Yeah.
But I think that it's going to be interesting to see sort of what his minutes are going to look like when we are at full strength. Because I think that he's a very adaptable dude. But I wonder, you know, what sort of argument he makes for usage and how our closing lineups end up looking once Morris is back to full health.
It's a luxury too. Well, Morris, because he's going to take a couple games to get back to full health, obviously. So it's even great for that, because we can even prolong that process if we have to. If Batum's playing well, you know, like it's that thing where it's like, all right, well, we can get a little bit of run from Morris, but thankfully Batum is able to soak up these minutes too.
He also is such, I mean, he is the key factor, or not the key factor, but a key factor in the ball movement looking as good as it has
100%.
This early in the season. He brings so much versatility to the position that, you know, he's maybe not the greatest at any one thing, but he's so solid in so many areas that it, you know, if healthy, it really, I mean, it raises the floor of this team.
Yes, for sure.
So much more than I maybe would have thought, given some of, you know, the loss of Jamichael in the offseason.
Yes. And then moving on to Luke Kennard. Bit of a difficult player to judge right now, given the time off that he had to take, you know, like you mentioned, the 18 months. Where are we at after these three games? The biggest concern for me is the fouls, because those have to stop. I just wish he would have shot a little bit better in the 50-point blowout just to see it go in.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I've liked some of what I've seen with the ball in his hands. Like, I've liked when he's gotten a little bit more aggressive and down at the rim. Teammates like to find him. You know, he does kind of draw space from defenders, you know, even more so when those shots are getting knocked down. I can't worry about a guy who has shot so consistently from three thus far in his career through three games.
Yeah.
So certainly that's not too concerning yet. But the fouls are something, I mean, that is going to be an ongoing concern for me. He's not a good defender. And we knew that. We've known that. And it's, you know, when his offensive output is at, you know, what it truly can be, I think that it will mitigate some of that.
Definitely.
But the fouling, like the you know, fouling shooters, that's got to get cut out of the diet.
Yeah, you can't be bad at defending and foul. Like, you can kind of be one of two things. Like, Patrick Beverley right now is good at defending and is fouling, which sucks. Yeah, if you're Kennard, you can't be bad at defense and foul a bunch. Like, it's just not going to help you get minutes when you really need them to get ramped back up.
Yeah. I have enjoyed, and I think that it is, I think that it's interesting the level of confidence that Ty Lue has in Luke Kennard.
For sure.
In, you know, two games, which this was one of my negative takeaways that from that Nuggets victory that we didn't actually talk about. I thought that Reggie Jackson played too much minutes in the Christmas
game. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about Ty Lue in the next segment, but that's something that, like, these minutes are just never going to die. Like, these minutes are apparently just here.
I think that Reggie played too many minutes in that Denver game, and he certainly, I mean, granted it was over, so like kind of whatever,
yeah.
But he certainly played too many minutes in the loss to the Mavs. But I think that it is encouraging to see that, you know, Ty does usually go with Kennard over Reggie.
Yeah.
And, you know, thus far, even though he has had a rougher start through these three games, like, I just see a lot more upside than I see in Reggie.
Oh, yeah. The decision making is like better. So you're kind of like, all right, great. Like, unless Reggie Jackson's in spot up mode, it's bad for the Clippers. Like, it just, it if he's forced to make decisions and get things set, it's bad. New guy who looks great after three games, man, Serge. We talked about how Batum elevated the floor. Serge has elevated the ceiling, which is so great. He's been as advertised through these three games.
100%.
Stretch on the floor is there. The defense is there. The fit is so perfect. He's created this insane 1-2 punch we have with centers with Zoo and him. But just really hoping for more of the same from Serge. Like, I think people are going to look. I'm hoping guys look to his performance in this game where he was still trying to box out. He was still trying to do dirty work against the Mavs. Like, that's exactly what you want to see from Serge. I do hope, yeah. Here's a thing we also didn't talk about from that Nuggets game that I'm hoping, because Serge has been a mentor to Zoo, which they've talked about a lot. Zoo only had two boards in that Nuggets game. So Zoo in the last two games has had two boards, which is, I mean, obviously if it continues, it's something we need to look at. But right now, I hope he can get back on track. Because that 1-2 punch with him and Serge is just so good that if Zoo's able to also get boards while possibly getting calls, they'd be fantastic. But that was a negative. But I feel like Serge and Batum look the best right now. And it's so great that we have like the floor raiser and the ceiling raiser.
And beyond that, I mean, like you said, he does fit the sort of like identity that this team needs, which is, you know, somebody who has that vet experience, who's willing to call guys out, but in a way that is still like respectful.
Yeah.
And certainly, yeah. And you know, on the flip side of the coin, willing to be called out when they're not executing something correctly.
Yeah.
And we have seen a couple situations where it appears that Serge has been sort of out of position from what people were thinking about, but he's more than made up with it, you know, with the majority of his play.
Definitely.
And I think it's just one of those things that's going to continue to get tighter. Certainly.
It's been like growing pain stuff we've seen. We haven't seen like alarming tendencies. It's just like, oh, these guys are still getting used to each other stuff.
Definitely. It's just kind of figuring out each other's space on the court. And I think, you know, the encapsulation of that is just like the run in with Kawhi.
Yep. Pick and pops.
Yeah. But like the run in with Kawhi was just a situation where needed to maybe have.
I thought you said running. Sorry. I was like, yeah, that's good. I was like, oh,
the
yeah.
Running with Kawhi is great. The run in with Kawhi.
Oh, yeah. No, the elbow's bad.
Not
yeah.
as good. Yeah. You got to be a little bit more aware in those situations. And I think that'll come as guys, you know, sort of understand that a little bit more. But I have been impressed. You know, I had high expectations of Serge, and I would still say that I've been impressed with what we've seen thus far. Hope we can just keep him healthy and continue to improve.
Yes, especially after what happened against the damn Mavs. Coming up, we're going to be talking the biggest freshie, which is Ty Lue in our shavings content. But first, Will, talk to me about these Built Bars. What are they? How can I ingest them?
So the Built Bar is a health bar that's covered in 100% chocolate. So it's a protein bar, tastes like a candy bar. It's new and improved now, and the new improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. Comes in 18 amazing flavors. The six new flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. As I said, the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, which is important if, I don't know, your teeth hurt or something. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, they're high protein, high fiber, they're great for the keto diet. Check out this breakdown of the peanut butter flavor profile. It's got 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams net carbs. And right now, we've got a very special offer for our listeners. You can get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. It's only going to last for a limited time, so make sure you get on this. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll also get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, welcome to Shavings, where we are continuing the Freshie segment, talking about Ty Lue, his first regular season week with the Clippers. You know, our cold takes didn't pan out, which was great. You know, teams 2-1.
I think they did pan out.
Maybe be on the worst. Really? The cold start takes?
Yeah, like I said, we managed to cram our entire cold start into a single game.
That's fair. We did have truly the worst loss in franchise history. Ty Lue has been a great contributor to the reason we looked great in the first two games. I think it's really just the experimentation, the not accountability, because that's not the right word, but like understanding when things need to change. Maybe this decision wasn't good, so they make the other one. But I think Ty Lue's first week has been phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's been really impressive. I've been really interested to see sort of how he's been staggering things. Just because it's on my mind right now, like one criticism I suppose I did have was the usage of Paul George. I thought in today's game was a little bit questionable. He got used for the 12 full minutes of that first quarter.
And things were out of hand.
And then due to that, like the full rotation of starters didn't come in until a point of that second quarter in which I thought it was already too late to even try to make a stand.
100%.
If you look at the numbers outside of that first quarter from the starters in the second and the third, I mean, we did end up winning that third quarter. Not that it matters, once again. I do think that there was something funky there in the rotation. But once again, was down, I mean, two starters and did still manage to figure it out. But other than that, I mean, like, I think that the way he has everybody moving and communicating. And, you know, that's half on him, I guess, half on the players, 100% on the players when they're on the court. But I do think that you have to give some credit to him to sort of fostering a mentality or an environment where people are recognizing that it's not just about the result of this game. It's sort of about this, this process of building this sort of foundation. And I do think, you know, despite other than the lackluster effort that we saw maybe coming out today, I do really feel like guys have approached the game with intensity, but an understanding that like the processes that we're building, the habits that we're building right now are even more important than, you know, having a decent 2-1 start through a pretty difficult first three games.
Yeah, the ball movement is the biggest thing. You know, that wasn't really there like we talked about in the game against the Mavs. But in the game against the Nuggets, I mean, we assisted on 78% of our field goals, I think, through the first two games. We're averaging something like 25 to 30 more passes per game through these first three games than we did through the whole season last year, which obviously small sample size, but I don't think that's going to change too much. The ball is just flying around the court when we have – you know, let's say at least four of the five starters out there, which is great. Like Reggie played poorly in, I think it was the first game. He got yanked immediately. And then Terrence Mann took part of his minutes during that Nuggets game. So there's there's these building blocks of better decisions being made. It is tough that Reggie Jackson is getting minutes still, but I think that's maybe more of an issue for how far along Terrence Mann is. He has looked a little not as confident as I think a lot of us would want him to be just in shooting. He had it again, even in this game against the Mavs, where it's like, dude, just let it go. Let it go, dude.
Yeah, the game truly didn't matter. And you still have Terrence Mann holding onto the ball, dribbling needlessly, and then just taking a terrible shot. Take the shot, bro. That was a little bit difficult to watch. But once again, I can't put that on Ty Lue. I'm going to be curious to see sort of – obviously Atkinson working under Ty Lue, sort of what development is going to look like both for the young guys and sort of the utilization of, you know, the vet players on the roster that we have already. I've only seen positive things thus far.
And I think negatives aren't too crazy. Like the rotations haven't had you we haven't seen enough of the same rotations to be annoyed at yet, which I think is good.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen the opposite. Just looking at even like the Zoo and Surge stuff, I mean, I think that we find the matchups that are working well. And then when players are playing well offensively, we're riding the hot hands effectively.
Yeah, for sure. you know, he's using Paul George as a point guard more, which is nice. Like PG turnovers are a little rough, but that's just a process thing, I think, right now. That's just knowing where guys are going to be and stuff like that. But yeah, I feel like Ty Lue is first week grade. I don't know. I'm giving him like an A minus, maybe a B plus because of the worst franchise loss in history.
I'm going to go B minus.
B minus. Wow. He's getting a what? 81.
Yeah. Something like that. 80.
That's a good call. Why the B minus? What's the biggest factor in the B minus?
The management of the players was a little bit bizarre in this game. The Reggie minutes, I feel like I know that we're down.
Points off for Reggie minutes.
I know that we're down a key rotation player and two key rotation players in the Mavs game, but there's got to be something else we can figure out, man.
Yeah, for sure. That's fair. Man, that about wraps it up. Hope everyone had a safe holiday weekend. Tuesday's episode, Twitter Tuesday, so send your questions in to @LockedOnClips. Previewing the game against Minnesota, that again will not have Karl Anthony Towns, but hopefully we'll have Kawhi Leonard. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these people tell their friends to listen to us?
You can tell your wonderful friends to listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please, please, please subscribe. It really helps us out. Like what we're doing over here, leave a rating or review on iTunes. We'll definitely read it on air.
Absolutely. Thank you all for rocking with us. Hey, we're 2-1. Let's just remember that. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.